Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Father, I'm trusting you to take this word that you have placed on my heart to teach, that you will cause it to give birth to a word explosion in the hearts of your people. Cause them to never be the same again. Cause their lives to be changed. I'm asking you to change the trajectory of our lives. And cause us to boldly go where we've never thought we can go before. We understand that without you, we can do nothing. And so we give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you're doing, all that you're causing to come to pass, because you have a plan for our lives. Thank you for that plan. Thank you for the execution of it. Thank you for the empowerment from it. And thank you for the elevation that it causes us to receive in Jesus' name. We give you praise for establishing the E3 culture on our faith calls and in our faith family community. And so, Father, we yield to you tonight in Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We've been looking at a teaching that I've entitled Developing a Kingdom Mindset to Cancel Debt. Developing a Kingdom Mindset to Cancel Debt. Now, I'm going to show you some things tonight. And if you're taking notes, I want you to be a good note taker tonight, because this is the night to take notes. And we're going to look at some things. And I'm going to remind you of things that I've already shared, but I'm reminding you of it to build it into your spirit, build it into your heart. I want you to become established in it. One thing I want to remind you of is that debt is a spiritual matter and not a natural one. Debt is a spiritual matter and not a natural one. We know that when we hear the word debt, we know that that means, well, to owe something. It means an obligation. But when we're talking about developing a kingdom mindset to cancel debt, we're understanding that that means that that's doing that is bigger than you and I just being able to pay our monthly car note, or it's bigger than you and I meeting our monthly financial obligations. See, I want you to think bigger. I want you to think bigger. So debt is a spiritual matter, not a natural one. Let's go ahead and read our scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, and then we'll begin pulling some things that the Spirit of God wants us to receive tonight. I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. Verse 1, it says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us," or too small, too limited. Verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take unto thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Verse 4, "So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam," or cutting down a tree, "the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Let me inject this. Why was that such a big deal? I mean, it's not like he intentionally lost the axe head. It wasn't his fault. He was working, doing his part in, on the job to help build this new location, this new house. And like you and I both know, sometimes things just happen that are beyond our control. But now he took ownership of this. And see, that's what I want you to see. Let me ask you this. As members of the body of Christ, do we take ownership of what's happening in our lives? Do we take ownership of what's happening in our circle of influence? Do we take ownership of what's happening in our region? I mean, there's a reason why God has planted us where we are. So what are we doing? Let's keep reading. So he took ownership. He says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Verse 6, "And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there, and the iron did swim." Last verse, verse 7. "Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it." So we pointed out several things already that I want to remind you of. I want to remind you of, watch this, since you are a spirit, that's who you are. You are a spirit being. So you are not the reflection of what you see in the mirror. No, you are a spirit being. Why? You're made in the image of God. You are a spirit. You have a soul. We were talking about this in the finance teaching. Your soul is made up of your mind, will, emotions, memory, and imagination, which make up your personality. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. The reason why we're in a physical body, because that gives us license to operate in this three-dimensional earth realm. Amen. That's why God comes and extends an invitation to us for us to become born again so that he can come and use our bodies to operate in this earth realm. So the devil, he doesn't extend an invitation. He comes in, tries to overcome you so that he can use your body in this earth realm. To operate in this earth realm, you need a physical body. So you are not the person that you see in the mirror. Amen. But your spirit man does take on the persona. But see, your spirit man doesn't have all the flaws, the blemishes, the scars, the blotches that your physical body have. Did you know that? No, it doesn't. So your spirit man is perfect. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. And so since you live in this physical body, then you have to understand that everything in the natural realm has a spiritual root. There is nothing in the natural that did not start in the spirit, and that includes debt. So debt is a spiritual matter. So as I pointed out already in this teaching, guess who debt affects first? Your bank account? No, it affects your spirit. Because the devil wants to use debt to control you spiritually. He wants to use debt to control you emotionally. He wants to use debt to control you mentally. He wants to use debt, yes, to control you financially. And he wants to use debt to control how your future turns out. Wow. So that's why we're in this teaching, because there are a lot of things happening in our society that we're going to have to refocus where our security is. We're going to have to reassess what we're putting our confidence in, because our security and our confidence should be in God. And you're going to have to be able to build yourself up spiritually, become spiritually stronger. Are you listening to me? Become more spiritually developed so that you don't succumb to the different things the adversary will use to come at you and weaken your resolve, weaken you mentally, weaken you emotionally, weaken you physically, and yes, weaken you spiritually. Just think, he uses debt to control you spiritually. He would love to control a person to think that they have to work all the time just to make it. So now they don't have no time for God. So now who's been affected? That person's relationship with God. So now if their relationship with God is not as strong as it should be, guess who's going to now control them? The adversary. And he's going to try to manifest himself through their personality. He uses debt to control people emotionally. And so they become emotionally overwhelmed. And so instead of building themselves up emotionally, they give in to emotional sickness. And then, so we have therapists and whatever. And there's nothing wrong with therapists, but watch this. Therapists cost. So now they're adding to the debt, which puts more pressure on them because they're trying to find a way to become emotionally stronger. This is why we have to be taught the Word of God. Then he tries to come against, he uses debt to control people mentally. In this day and time, we have more technology. Watch this. In this day and time, we have more people with degrees, and we have more mental illness than ever before. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? More technology, and they said technology was supposed to make things easier. We have more educated people than ever before in the earth's history. We have more Christians in the earth today than has ever been before in the world's history, and we have more mental weakness. So we have to do our part to build ourselves up and then be instruments used by God to build other people up so that they don't succumb and suffer emotionally, mentally, or even spiritually. And then you have, he uses debt to control you financially. We've already stated this, that debt, number one, exposes you to a lifestyle that God doesn't want you to live. I'm going to show you why tonight. Debt exposes you to a lifestyle that God doesn't want you to live. The key word here is exposure. Exposure. The adversary, through the debt, creates an exposure so that now he can condition you to accept something he wants to invade your life with. Exposure. All right. Then number two, debt creates an environment that traps you, that causes you to feel entrapped, ensnared, so that now you will see yourself limited, contained, and you'll think, man, is this all that God has for me? Is this all that God has for my life? So he creates this environment. So the key word here for number two is environment. So number one, he creates this exposure. Two, he creates this environment through debt. And then number three, debt generates experiences in order for them to become your reference point for your future. Debt generates experiences in order for them to become your reference point for your future. Wow. So it's through this exposure, it's through this environment, and through the experience that you become conditioned to accept debt, watch this, and all its consequences. The spiritual weakness, the emotional weakness, the mental weakness, the financial weakness, and now the control for my future is out of my hands. You following me? So, I want you to see this. We've already pointed this out from this passage of scripture, and for God has used this passage from 2 Kings 6 to cause it to be the foundation or the scripture, the launching pad scripture for us to build on. We said in verse 1 how it was pointed out that where they were living was too small, and we pointed out to you already in this teaching that living with debt is too small for you. You have to have a paradigm shift. And then you have to also understand that living by accepting debt is too small for you. Again, don't just think of debt as meeting and a monthly obligation, paying off a loan. No, it has more weight behind it than that. Verse 2, we pointed out already in this teaching that the sons of the prophets determined that they needed to build a new place, and then they told the man of God that they were going to go there and build it. They were changing their address. They're not talking about staying at the same place. Now, why are we pointing this all out? Because we stated that in order for there to be a debt cancellation, it requires a mental shift. You're going to have to change the way you think. Amen. And then they pointed out in verse number 3, and I'm not going to go all over this because we did this in the previous two sessions, and I sent those out to you in the rebroadcast, so you have those. I'm just bringing up a little bit to take us to where we need to go tonight. In verse 3, they asked the man of God to go with them, and we're using what happened in verses 1 through 7 as metaphors. So metaphorically, him going with them is God letting us know that we can count on divine assistance and divine cooperation to cancel the stranglehold of debt in our lives. You are not by yourself. You have help. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So it's not just on you. You can expect divine assistance and divine cooperation to cancel the stranglehold of debt. Then verse 4, we see that even though they planned this, everybody went there to the Jordan and went to work. So canceling debt is not just wishing on a star. It's going to require work. So if it requires work on my part, it's going to require me to become more disciplined than I've ever been. It's going to require me to become more diligent than I've ever been. And it's going to require me to become more determined than I've ever been. Disciplined, diligent, determined. It's going to require work, but I can do this in order to live in a freedom and liberty that God wants me to have. Say amen. Everybody went to work. All right. So in canceling debt, you're positioning yourself to be delivered from a debt mentality, delivered from a debt mindset that cooperates with debt, be delivered from a debt acceptance mentality. And so that's going to require work. It's going to require work. And then we looked at and we pointed out in verse 5 where he talked about the beam, the axe head, being lost into the water as the brother was working. But what we pulled from that is his refusal to accept debt. He went to his man of God and said this was borrowed. And he did not want that to be the end of the story. And that's where we have to be. We have to be delivered from a debt acceptance mentality. Say amen. And then in verse 6, we saw where the supernatural kicked in. And that's where I want to take you. The man of God had a strategy. Cut off a branch, threw it into the river. Supernaturally, the branch took on the weight of the axe head and went down and sunk. As it was sinking, the axe head took on the lightness of the branch and started floating. what the branch would do, the axe head did. There was a shift. And that's what happens supernaturally. God wants us to understand that we can believe him for a supernatural shift. Yeah. We can believe him for a supernatural shift. But let's look at this a little bit more, because then even in verse 7, we pointed out how the man of God told that son of the prophet, that brother, to take hold of the axe head as it was floating. And we looked at that metaphorically and stated how God wants you and I to embrace something new in this season of our lives that we have never seen or experienced before. Somebody say, and we can do it too. And we can do it too. And we can do it too. So let's look at this now. Let's look at this. One of the things that I want you to understand, go with me in your Bibles now to Romans chapter 10. Look at this, Romans chapter 10. Let's build on something tonight. One of the things I want you to understand is that when I'm teaching and preaching to you, I'm expecting faith to come. When I'm teaching and preaching, I'm expecting faith to be released into your heart. Look at Romans chapter 10, and let's start at verse 14. Look at this. Very familiar passage of scripture. It says this, how then shall they call on him, talking about call on God, in whom they have not believed? So how can I get to the place of where I can believe in him to call on him? Well, he tells us how. Look at the next part. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Look at the steps. They got to hear him in order to believe him, in order to call him. They have to hear him in order to believe him, in order to call him. So how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then he tells us the final thing that sets all this in motion. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now there are some who just went and started calling themselves preachers, and God didn't ordain what they were doing, and a lot of people have gotten hurt. But that's not our case, because I didn't just went. I didn't just go on my own. I was sent. God sent me. And even with this particular teaching, you have to understand that he's ordained it for such a time like this for our lives. I'm not just giving you something because I'm sitting around and saying, okay, now what do I need to teach? What can I give them to inform them? No. No, we're on assignment for 2025, okay? Look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when I'm teaching and preaching the word of God, I'm expecting faith to come to you, to cause you to believe something that you couldn't believe before, to cause you to begin expecting God to do something for you that your expectation wasn't strong enough to stand before. So here's what I want you to see. Number one, faith stretches you beyond what you're used to. Faith stretches you beyond what you're used to. So when you're hearing me teach and preach, the faith is being released to cause you to stretch beyond what you're used to. Faith stretches you beyond what you're used to. Two, faith is a spiritual force, not a natural one, not a mental one. This is not about head knowledge. Faith is a spiritual force, not a natural force, not a mental force. So we're not trying to calculate and reason and become so logical to be able to, okay, understand what God wants and what God is doing. No. I believe it beyond my logic. I believe it beyond my reasoning. I believe it beyond my calculations. You following me? And I'm one of the most logical people there is, you know, with my background being in computer, went to school for computer science and was a computer programmer. So, and I'm you know, computer programmer from the old school to where we we had the cards and everything, and you had to write out everything, glory to God, in that program, and it had to come and get you to the final result. So I understand logic, but now when it comes to faith, it's not about logic. It's not about your calculations. So that means that when we're talking about developing a kingdom mindset to cancel debt, we're not relying on your calculations. We're not relying on your understanding. We're not relying on your logic. We're relying on what God wants to do for you that you have no way of logically and reasonably seeing how this thing can happen for you. But he'll do it. So, number one, again, faith stretches you beyond what you're used to. Number two, faith is a spiritual force, not a natural one, not a mental one. And then number three, faith is a spiritual force that overcomes tribulation, troubles, and trials. Faith is a spiritual force that overcomes tribulation, troubles, and trials. Faith is a spiritual force that overcomes tribulation, troubles, and trials. Now, why is this so important? Well, I said to you that debt is a spiritual matter, right? And not a natural one, and that you are a spirit being. Let me take you to a different scripture that we haven't introduced in this series, and I think you'll find this interesting. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Now, there are a lot of us, and when I say us, I'm speaking of Christians in general, who give in to the carnal side of life, the natural side, instead of allowing the spirit realm to govern our lives. And what you have to understand is that the carnal realm, will lock you into succumbing to natural conditions, natural circumstances, and natural shortage. You're limited. You will be affected by it. So watch this. Watch this. Look at Mark chapter 3, one verse. Let's look at verse 27. Jesus was talking about, they was asking him about casting out devils. Now, why would these people be talking about casting out devils? Well, they were seeing some things in that region where they were living. And then they was challenging Jesus because they looked at it and said, because he's casting out devils, that means that you must be in cahoots or partnership with Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus, you know, asked him a question, how can Satan cast out Satan? He said, that wouldn't work if Satan tried to cast out Satan. That's when he said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom won't stand. So it would not be in Satan's best interest to be casting out himself. So he said, the reason why I cast out Satan, I have authority over him. And when I have authority over him and execute that authority, I take his goods. So then he used this illustration so that it can apply to you and I. Look at verse 27. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house. Now that strong man is a demonic spirit, okay? And he calls him a strong man. There can be a territorial strong man. there can be in that territorial strongman can be in the region you live in. There's a reason why a certain region always deals with poverty. It's not by happenstance. It's not because the government isn't helping them more. It's because there is a spiritual strong man that is governing that region, and no one is taking authority over it from the Spirit. Okay? Or there can be a generational strong man that works through a generational bloodline. Oh yeah, it can happen. There's a reason why, for example, that Johnny's great-great-grandfather was abusive to his great-great-grandmother. Then Johnny's great-grandfather was a wife abuser as well. And then Johnny's father was an abuser. How could this come down three generations? And now here's Johnny at his dad's funeral, and he's emotional and he's crying. And then he goes to the gravesite for the burial, and then he's emotional. And since he's in this emotional state, the same generational strongman that was on his great-great-grandfather, and father now comes into Johnny. And even though Johnny growing up saw how his dad treated his mother, and he said to himself, I'm not going to do that when I get married. I'm not going to do that when I get married. And all of a sudden he does it. Because a strong man is at work controlling Johnny's responses, controlling what agitates him, irritates him, frustrates him, and angers him. And he's regretting after the action is done, but it still doesn't stop the next time. A strong man. So Jesus said here, and that's just one example. He says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. Well, what is the strong man's house? He needs a body in order to be able to work in this natural realm. I just told you that earlier. He needs a body. And so, if you're going to spoil his goods, meaning take his control from him, take everything he's robbed from that particular bloodline, from that region, from that locale, from that country, whatever the case may be, no man can enter into a strong man's house and steal his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Debt is a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. It's not just about you creating bills, because there's a reason behind that. And it's not just you, but you're cooperating with it. You following me? And so this strong man, we have to look at how do we become stronger than the strong man. And that's the word of God. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. Now I'm going to change gears here and go a little faster so I can get to where I want to go. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Very familiar verse. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. It says from the King James Bible, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive. It's powerful, the Bible says. It's sharper than a two-edged sword that can cut back and forth. Well, what's the purpose of this sharpness? That means it's penetrable. It penetrates, watch this, and separates the soul from the spirit. The word of God is the only thing that can separate the soul from the spirit, because the soul and the spirit are so connected that you really can't even see where they separate. That's why many times, and when people teach or preach about it, they make the soul and the spirit as one, because the only thing that can separate them is the word of God. And the word of God, watch this, if it can penetrate and pierce the dividing of soul and spirit, watch this, it can also penetrate and pierce the control, the influence, and the governing factor that a wrong spirit or a strong man has had over an individual. Wow. And then it also says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God can have an impact on the way I think, the way I make choices. It can affect my intentions to change them to where now I make different choices and people around me will begin recognizing and say, oh, there's something different about you. You're not acting the same. You're not responding the same way. I remember when so-and-so used to get on your last nerve. Now that you're not affected. What has gotten into you? The word of God. The word of God. So you have to understand that God's word never bows to natural conditions. I need a scribe tonight because I'm getting ready to go with this thing. God's word never bows to natural conditions. Number two, God's word never bows to natural circumstances. It's powerful. It's powerful. And we just read from Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by this powerful, penetrable word of God. So number one, God's word never bows to natural conditions. God's word never bows to natural circumstances. God's word never bows to watch this, natural conflict. Uh-huh. And God's word never bows to natural challenges. It doesn't bow to natural conditions. So now I don't have to cave in to natural conditions. I got a way out, the word of God. It never bows to natural circumstances. I don't have to bow to natural circumstances. Why? I have a way out, the word of God. It doesn't bow to natural conflict. I don't have to bow to natural conflict now. Why? I have a way out, the word of God. And it doesn't bow to natural challenges. I don't have to give in. I don't have to cave in and feel defeated because of the challenge I'm facing in my life. Why? I have a way out, the word of God. All of these things, natural conditions, natural circumstances, natural conflicts, natural challenges, all of them bow to the word of God. But it requires for us to catch a revelation. And this is what I want you to catch tonight. A lot of people, I say people again, I mean a Christian, they try to take authority over spiritual strongholds in their lives or in a region or in a bloodline or in a family. There's a reason why a family just don't get together. They think it's the personality conflicts with the different characters in the family. No, there's a spiritual stronghold behind that. There's a reason why Mama and Johnny can't talk. She gave birth to him. She raised him. She trained him. She taught him. But now he grew up and he has animosity toward Mother. Oh, yeah, she may have done something. Yeah, she wasn't perfect, but why can't they talk? There's a spiritual strong man behind that. And there's a spiritual strong man behind all debt. So what has to happen? We have to, as believers, we must catch a revelation. Say revelation. A revelation. A revelation is understanding a spiritual truth at your level of comprehension that brings about a conviction. So It's understanding a spiritual truth at my level of comprehension. So I don't have to be like nobody else. God deals with me based upon where I am and based upon my personality. Say amen. So a revelation is a spiritual truth that flesh and blood couldn't give you. Your natural understanding and your reasoning couldn't conjure up. And all your calculations and contemplations couldn't figure out a revelation. Jesus called revelation knowledge a rock. He called it the rock of revealed knowledge. Stay with me. And one of the purposes of revelation knowledge is to cause us, watch this, to overcome satanic strategies, to overcome sinful stubbornness, to overcome selfish standards. Let me say that again. One of the purposes of revelation knowledge is to cause us to, number one, overcome satanic strategies. Number two, overcome sinful stubbornness. Sometimes it's a person's stubbornness that gets them in the situation that they find themselves in. Number one, overcome satanic strategies. Satan is involved in deceiving a person and causing them to end up where they are. So overcome satanic strategies. Number two, overcome sinful stubbornness. And number three, overcome selfish standards. Yes, the selfishness in some people can cause them to wind up with a life that God never wanted them to experience. Selfishness. So revelation knowledge causes us to overcome those things. And all revelation, what did I say? All revelation requires consistent effort, consistent endeavor, and consistent engagement. Let me say that again. All revelation requires consistent effort, consistent endeavor, and consistent engagement. Wow. Now, I know about this. I remember when Cheryl and I call this when our dumb days, we were on the verge of divorce. Yeah, we were. Yeah, I know it. I know. I don't know what was wrong with her. How could the girl want to divorce the kid? I don't understand it, but you know, it is what it is. But then it wasn't that she wanted to divorce me. I wanted to divorce her too. We both wanted out. The reason why is because we were blind. Come on, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were blind. We were blind to what God wanted to do for us. We were blind to what God wanted to do for our family, what he wanted to do for our marriage, what he wanted to do for our future. Now think with me. We were talking or thinking. We didn't say it out loud to each other, but we were talking to ourselves. This is what we wanted out. We wanted out. And then watch this. We didn't see this day where God would use our marriages as an example to others. We couldn't see it. All we saw were the flaws, the faults, the failures of our relationship. And that thing was real. Now I'm trying to show you something. Where did that come from? Now, both our parents had troubled marriages. We had troubled marriages. My grandparents had troubled marriages. Their children had troubled marriage. I had a troubled marriage. What does that sound like to you? That's a generational stronghold. There was a spiritual stronghold, a strong man affecting marriages in my bloodline. Wait a minute, I got something for you. And all of them went to church. What you say, preacher? Yeah, they was in church. So was me and Cheryl. Now listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you there? Look at this. Look at verse 4. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. I know you've seen this verse before, but not in the light of how I'm sharing it. Look at this. The Bible says, in whom the God, small g, of this world, who's he talking about? Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Our minds were blinded. That's what happens also with debt. The adversary blinds the mind of a person. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, it wasn't shining unto us because our minds were blinded. We were affected. Now, because of this, I remember when God said to me, and I only can speak for me, I can't speak for Cheryl. He said to me, if you give me your marriage, and if you do it my way, I not only will restore your marriage relationship, rekindle the love in your relationship, rejuvenate the joy in your relationship, but I'll use your marriage as an example in my kingdom. Listen, that was so hard for me to believe. That was so unreal to me, because all I saw was the fussing, the arguing, the contention, the coldness, and it was real. But our minds were blinded and we needed a revelation. But God wasn't going to do it without my permission and my participation and Cheryl's permission and her participation. Now stay with me. It was the same thing that happened with us financially. It was the same thing that happened with us, with our family and our very lives. I remember, watch this, another part of our testimony. I remember how the spirit of debt had blinded my mind to see that my only answer when we had financial problems was I would go, we used to have little loan places in Fort Worth, Texas. You can get $500 here, $500 there. Y'all know about places like that? I don't know if they have them in Buffalo or not, because I've been delivered. But anyway, we used to have these little places. And man, I went to borrowing. And now I know today they have all kinds of ways of how you can borrow against your paycheck before you even get the paycheck. And people think, oh man, this is a good thing. That's not a good thing. You're being blinded. The spirit of debt is blinding your mind. Well, anyway, because see, many people think it's a solution, but it's not a solution. It's a submission, and you're submitting to the spirit of debt. Well, the spirit of debt had blinded my mind to see that as my answer, to see that going that way as my solution, as my way out. Watch this. So not only were me and Cheryl, were having financial problems, I just mentioned the marital problems we were having. I did not put two and two together with my lightning fast mind that the spirit of debt and was coupled with this strong man against marriages in my bloodline and in Cheryl's bloodline, and it was attacking us and affecting us, wanting to destroy our family and our future. Listen, they would have never been a faith word. They would have never been a Buffalo. They would have never been coming to St. Catharines, Ontario. We wouldn't have made it. Our minds were blinded. Listen. So where we were then, life was defeating us. Now, I got to admit, Cheryl wasn't in agreement with me going that route, going to all them different places, borrowing that money, and then I borrow from this place to pay that place, and then the cycle was on. She wasn't in agreement, but I thought that she didn't have any solution, so I'm going to come up with a solution myself. Watch this. That's all part of the blindness. See, I don't mind being transparent telling my story, because you probably get mad if I tell your story as the Holy Spirit reveal it to me. So I didn't see us coming together in faith agreement. Stay with me. I didn't see us coming together in faith agreement and God responding to our agreement as a solution. That was the furthest thing from my mind. And see, sometimes in families, it could be the man in the house or the woman in the house who believe that they know the right way the family needs to go in. And instead of coming together, come on, somebody say, we need to come together. Instead of coming together and forming an agreement and allowing God to work through their agreement, this person takes ownership and says, I'm just going to do this. And you just get in line. No, that doesn't work. That spirit is blinding your mind so it can set you up for failure. Now watch this. No one thinks or considers that the spirit of debt is controlling their next moves. The spirit of debt, put this down in your notes, always blinds you from the true way of faith. The spirit of debt always blinds you from the true way of faith. Wow. Two, the spirit of debt always causes you to think that faith agreement won't work. The spirit of debt always causes you to think that faith agreement won't work. It causes you to think that trusting God won't work. Doing it God's way won't work. Like God would say tithe. So the spirit of debt would say tithing because God said it, it won't work. Or giving because God said it won't work. Or walking in love with your spouse or walking in love with your family. It won't work because you feel like they are obligated to you. And that is a debt control mindset. You make people feel like they owe you. So I'm out of time. Let me end this. I hope y'all getting something tonight. So we had to learn how to yield to what 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is where I'm going to end tonight. And we'll pick this up next Thursday because Sunday I got a guest speaker. But watch this. Look at verse 4 again, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, and if you got a real Bible, or if you got your smart device, you can highlight it, but if you got a real Bible, underline this part. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ that changes everything. Now, you know Christ is not Jesus' last name. So I always share this with you when I'm teaching and I mention the word Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means who Jesus was. In the Hebrew, the word Christ is Messiah. In Greek, it's the word Christos, which means the anointed one. So when you see the word Christ, you always, in your mind, exchange it with the phrase the anointed one, and then sometimes you got to read how the verse is coming. It's also referring to the anointing that's on the anointed one. So let's put that in here and read 2 Corinthians 4:4 from the King James again. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the glorious gospel of the anointed one, and his anointing, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Once he shines unto them, they are no more blinded. Now listen, what does the anointing do? The anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. And it destroyed the yoke of how I saw Cheryl and how she saw me. It removed the burden of what we were feeling in the relationship, how we were feeling in our lives at that time. It removed the burden from being blinded in our minds by the God of this world. Because see, a blinded mind cannot believe God. It won't, because it doesn't have revelation. So what he did was, he shined into our hearts. What he sent was the image of God of how our marriage looks like, watch this, in that anointing. And that's how you move into this place of debt cancellation. You stop looking at your life through your bills. You stop looking at your life through your income. And you understand that you're bigger than that. That you're in this life not to make a living. You're in this life to be a living. You're here to make a mark that cannot be erased. You're here to make a difference. You're here to cause impact. You're here to release an influence. You're here, glory to God, because God has deposited things and giftings and creativity on the inside of you that he wants released in our generation that destroys yokes and removes burdens. Wow. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ that paves the way for the glory of God to invade your life and your situation. So I said to you earlier that revelation knowledge, and here I'm closing, requires constant effort. So Cheryl and I had to put forth the effort. Now, financially, I had to disconnect from the idea, the thought, and the inclination to go to them little loan places. And they could no longer be my solution. I had to get to the place where I stopped calling mama. She couldn't be my solution. It was God or nothing else. We had to apply consistent effort in how we dealt with one another, treated one another. Oh, a whole lot of times we didn't get it right the first time, but we kept at it. Boy, I give that girl praise. I'm talking about Cheryl, because she was willing to stick it out with me until we got it right. We bumped our head a few times and we just rub each other's head and say, let's go at it again. Oh, Lord. All revelation. All revelation requires a consistent effort. You can't stop. You can't quit. You got to put forth the effort. All revelation requires consistent endeavors. You have to jump in there and keep at it. And it didn't make a difference of how many people were hoping we divorced. We disappointed them because we've been at this thing over 41 years. In 2 months, it'll be 42. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's because of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ. We caught hold of that image. And now we have an image within each one of us of being together, of being unified. Watch this. Of being in harmony. Of being in agreement, of flowing, and staying connected. And no devil from hell can knock that image out of us with a baseball bat. We have an image financially of God being our source and the sustainer of our lives. That if every income stream dries up, we know he'll create another one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So all revelation requires consistent effort, consistent endeavor, and glory to God, Watch this. Consistent engagement. You do it on purpose. You do it on purpose. I would make myself get up and I would talk to myself too. I say, boy, you're going to serve this girl. And I'd do something on purpose. I didn't feel like it. But see, I'm making the devil out of a liar. Because I'm saying you're not blinding my mind any longer when it comes to my marriage. You're not blinding my mind any longer when it comes to my finances. You're not blinding my mind any longer when it comes to my future. The glorious gospel of the anointed one and his anointing. And what is the gospel? It's good news. So what's good news for you and I? That he gives us an anointing to overcome every challenge. He gives us an anointing to overcome every conflict. He gives us an anointing to overcome every circumstance. He gives us an anointing, are y'all listening to me, to overcome every condition. And watch this. This would help me ensure. He gives us an anointing to overcome every measure of confusion. And that way we don't allow any confusion in our relationship. And my brothers and sisters, God is going to take you to a place this year and you're going to be different. And people are going to let you know that you're different. And all you're doing is putting forth the effort and you're wanting to submit to God. And they're going to look at you and say, who do you think you are? And you don't even know what they're talking about. But they can see change. Because change has a color. And you know what the color of change is? It generates a love atmosphere everywhere it goes. Change also has a look. You know what the look of change is? Confidence. Change causes a temperature to always be around it. You know what that temperature is? Peace. Change also has a covering. And that covering is a hope that cannot be denied. You'll expect the best because your God is the best and he loves you and he's promised to give you the best because you belong to him. You receive this tonight? Come on, put those hands together. Give God some praise. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for victory being released upon these, the lives of your children. We thank you, Father, glory to God, that they are developing a mindset to overcome the strong man. Glory to God, who's been coming against them. The strong man that's been coming against their family. The strong man that has come against their finances. The strong man that has come against their future. The strong man that has come against the locality where they live. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, hallelujah, that they will no longer accept any influence. Glory to God. Any inclusion from this spiritual influence, but they will walk in victory because we give you praise for quickening your spirit in us in Jesus' name. I speak victory in the lives of your people. I speak victory in every area that they may have been facing a challenge in. And I thank you, Father, for a renewed perspective. And I thank you for the paradigm shift that's taking place in these, your children, in Jesus' name. If you receive it, say, I receive it. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.